Real two birds of blue, but oh, what those two birds can't do. Don't anybody go see this drac. Turned up my nose, blue skies, death throes, all of the available nose has, you know what? This is stupid. Why am I, Brian, I don't even like singing. This is, can we just, please just go ahead and start the review. Okay. This is dumb. Animated films supposed to feel quick and vibrant and like be over quickly, so you want some more?
No, they're supposed to be filled with snappy racist stereotypes.
Oh, see, that's where I got confused, because I fucking hated this. I obviously misunderstood that Rio 2 was trying to do something that is the standard for the industry.
Oh, which of the five movies that it was trying to be did you hate?
All of them?
Wow, okay.
I don't know. There were some parts of Rio. Well, you know what? We'll get into that in a minute.
It has beautiful plumage.
Wait, is Rio 2 the thing where they tie your ankles and your wrists, and then the horses go different directions?
Yes, that's what that
okay,
is.
Okay, I remember now. Yeah.
It's also one of those weird six sexual positions on that big list with the Dirty Lopez.
I went to the wrong movie.
I gotta say, worst sequel to City of God ever.
Yeah, we get one lousy shot of a favela from the air.
And everybody's dancing and happy, just like in the real Rio de Janeiro.
Exactly. Anyway, for The Unusual Suspects, I am Chris Cox.
JC DeLeon.
Bo.
Ashley.
And these guys, JC and Ashley are just here to help us out because they were smart enough not to go see Rio 2.
Guys,
but
I
want to know, how many times do they have the shot of Jesus doing the big arms thing?
Just once.
Just once. Yeah. They
man.
This movie, actually, for nominally, it's called Rio 2, but most of it takes place in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, it's like they're in Rio for 10 minutes of this film.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, the basic idea here is...
although they managed to do, like, this little tour guide of Brazil on their way to the rainforest. I'm like, how much are you getting paid for this? And is it in pesetas?
There had to be money coming from the Brazilian, like, yeah, tourist
industry. Because they literally, like, okay, we need to show them the great big bridge in the capital city. Okay, check. You know, now we need to go to some beachfront up here. Check.
Yeah. And there's, like, literally a point, like, Indiana Jones style, like, going down the map of Brazil and hitting various famous cities and going, and here's what to see in that city. Okay, now to the next city. But here, Jesse Eisenberg returns as Blue, a blue macaw that's supposed to be here, a endangered species, who, as we saw in the first film, ended up getting hooked up with Jewel, another blue macaw played by Anne Hathaway. And at this point, you know, they got it on. They got three kids.
Yeah, they pounded on each other.
They're more or less happy, even though he's still neurotic and she's still not quite satisfied, as you would imagine anybody who was
just like the real Anne Hathaway.
Anybody who was married to Jesse Eisenberg would be.
That's about right.
They're hanging out with all their goofy friends, still doing goofy, pointless shit in Rio. Basically, they're like, you know what? I can't remember what the reasoning was why they go to Amazon. Do you remember?
Blue's original owner and the scientist that she fell in love with, Linda and Trulio, they are wandering about. They're doing a catching a lease in the wild. They've got a rare bird that is indigenous to the area. So they set out down the Amazon, let him go, and they stumble. They find a feather from a blue Spix macaw, which, you know, supposedly Blue and Jewel and their children are the only ones left.
Right.
So they get all excited. The TV crews start coming out and interviewing them, and the birds see it, because they're all tech addicts, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so they're like, oh, well, we should take the kids out into the wild so they can see what it's like to be real birds. And who knows, maybe we'll find a flock. And that's kind of what Jewel's hoping, whereas Blue is like, yeah, fuck that. That sounds awful. I like waffles in my iPod and TV.
Blue reacts exactly how I would when someone said, let's take a vacation to the Amazon rainforest. I'd be like, no.
They have fish that swims up your penis. Fuck that shit.
Let's take a vacation to Rio. We live in Rio. Oh, how great is that?
Yeah, exactly. The beach is literally like down the street.
So I have a plot question.
Yeah.
How long did it take for Gangnam Style to start playing during this movie?
There's like so much like irritating dancing sequences in here that are just poorly done, more than not.
With the exception of
the villainous cockatoo that reappears from the last film.
That he's just about the only thing in this movie you will look forward to seeing on screen. Yeah, with Jermaine Clement.
Besides the credits, am I right?
Yeah.
True.
who's played by Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. And his sidekick, a poison dart frog played by Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah, who are genuinely funny whenever they're on
the
screen.
They're hilarious. And Chenoweth, unlike everybody else in this cast, including you, Bruno Mars, can actually fucking sing. And they do one bit, like everything else is like these, you know, kind of silly dance numbers. And then for one scene, they basically give her a Disney belter, and it's actually quite cool.
It's kind of spectacular, even that one scene where
she's got the fucking pipe.
In her character, this poison dart frog is in love with the evil cockatoo, but she can't ever touch him because he'd die. And there's a song she's singing her love and he's oblivious. And it's done in a very old school Hollywood sort of dreamy style. And it's really funny. And then they go back to all the other birds doing like MTV shit.
because the principal problem with this movie is instead of, you know, There's obviously the fish out of water because there's Jesse Eisenberg going into the forest. Then they throw in the fact that there are indeed blue Spix McCalls out there, and one of them is Jewel's father.
Yeah.
So now it's, you know, meet the Flockers.
And not to mention her old love interest.
Her old love interest.
Played by Bruno Mars, who now, of course, is you know, puffing up his chest and trying to compete for alpha.
Yes, by acting like Michael Jackson, which I don't see how that works, but okay. And the father is played by Andy Garcia, and he's a very gruff, no-nonsense bird, of course. And then that not being enough, they also throw in a plot device of having the entire kit and caboodle, not only the blue McCalls habitat, but the guys across the way, the red McCalls, who they're at war at. Another big plot element.
And let's not forget that there's also a Save the Rainforest plot with an evil group of deforesters who are in there cutting down trees and, in fact, are endangering the lives of the original owners of Blue, who are there looking for this secret hideaway of the blue macaws.
I'm going to have an epileptic seizure just listening to your summary. I'm really glad I didn't go.
It goes on and on. You're like, I don't care if you wrap up the side stories, just wrap it up.
It's like the most uninteresting collection of shiny objects you've ever seen distract an ADD kid.
It would have been considerably less worse if they hadn't brought some of their friends along for the ride, because George Lopez comes with them, who plays a toucan, as well as Jamie Foxx as the yellow canary, who wears a little bottle cap hat, who are just do nothing. You know what they feel like?
They feel like horrible racial stereotypes?
They feel like the racial stereotypes from Transformers 2.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. I absolutely, any time George Lopez's character was talking, I was just like, oh my god, it's Bumblebee from the Transformers, and I hate it.
Yeah. And it's filled with stuff like that that's just...
And that's another thing. The whole reason for them being there is they're trying to get a talent contest going on, so they have auditions for all of the animals in the woods, and you're just like, Jesus fucking Christ, will you just stick to one fucking throw line?
It feels like they totally blew their wad with this one, because seeing as how there's been like three Madagascar movies and like eight Ice Ages, like this could have been three or four sequels.
I think the guys behind Ice Age were so excited to have another franchise that they took all of their ideas for all the Ice Age sequels that they're planning up to this date and just threw them kit and caboodle into this.
Much like Ice Age and Madagascar, the first film here was, you know, passable, but nothing great.
Sure.
You know?
And in every review I've read of it is, you know, surprise hit Rio. And it's like, no, it wasn't that big of a surprise, other than people went to go see it and it didn't completely suck.
And yeah, like I said, this, you know, the first one I was like, okay, that was what it was. I was never unhappy watching it, but it's largely forgettable. This one, I will never forget how badly I wanted it to end.
Yeah, I was holding my watch up to my ear, just seeing if it had stopped ticking, and I'm pretty sure it fucking did.
I feel like we're like Muppets on this one. After every comment, like, oh,
you two are the old ones up and down.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Bo, what'd you think about that scene? No, okay. I just, you know, and you brought up the Madagascar. And the third one is actually great.
Which I haven't seen, but I hear that. Yeah.
Leaves hope that maybe...
Yes, that's how you tricked me into seeing this. You're like, hey, Madagascar 3 was good.
It was inexplicably.
This is actually how we're doing all reviews moving forward. We're going to talk about movies we haven't seen.
Exactly.
Rio 2, Madagascar 4.
It's even despite all the different plot elements, it's never confusing. It's too simplistic.
No, yeah, there's nothing new under the sun here. Everything's, you know, very
predictable.
Despite all the beautiful plumage, everything's black and white here. Everything's predictable. No surprises whatsoever.
I feel bad for Eisenberg, who admittedly doesn't have much of a stretch, but is giving it
his
all.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say there's no way he gives a shit.
Dude, but, they must have a gun to Jamie Foxx's parents' heads to get him in this at this point.
I don't know. You know, Jamie Foxx, like, it's clear he can act, right?
Yeah.
We know he can act, and we know that sometimes he picks good movies. It's just the rest of the time, what the fuck? Are you like, is there two Jamie Foxxes? There's just another guy with the same name, and I've just been clueless this whole time.
His doppelganger makes only crap. You know, like, but, he's not evil; he's just boring,
right? What's Anne Hathaway doing in this?
You know? I think she's probably saying maybe they'll like me as a bird.
Well, what did I say? What did that contract say that I signed up for the first one? Yeah. I've won an Academy Award, bitches. Yeah, whatever. Put on the bird suit.
and as a voice artist, yes, they do actually make you dress up as a bird.
They do actually. That's a fact. And I can't prove it, but I'm telling you, trust me. Yeah, there's not a lot going on here. But like I said, I kept coming back to... the only thing that kept me going the whole movie was just waiting for Jemaine Clement's character to come back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because every time he was there, it was really funny. Even the things with the two birds holding their auditions, you're like, oh, this plot line is going to have something to do with him, and I'm happy about it. And sure enough, he comes out with like a Phantom of the Opera half-mask with a leaf and to hide his identity and then perform Shakespeare. And you're like, okay, this is actually pretty clever.
Yeah, and that's where they should have gone. It's like, you know what? The bird who can't fly, that's a movie in itself. Take him, take the poison tree dog for poison tree frog that's in love with them and their weird anteater companion and have a blast with that.
Yeah,
that'd be a great
what a
movie.
Step and fetch it of an anteater companion if there ever was one. Holy shit.
I have it on good authority that the anteaters in South America are looking for.
It's Amos an anteater.
Jesus.
Sorry, that fun was just hanging there.
Oh my God.
I had to take it. Because like even their storyline was the most, well, we got to find a way to get them in this movie, like segue, because they have nothing to do with anything in this film. Like, they are not essential. Well, like, I'm not even sure if the other characters even really noticed they were there till the last
And that's
minute.
Difficult to believe. They couldn't tie them in somehow. It sounds like there's about a bazillion plot points.
Exactly.
Yeah, they couldn't just help out on the talent show.
Even the kids, and they've got three of them, are just like complete ciphers. It's like there's one that's, you know, kind of, sort of is his device function is like, oh, hey, we're in the rainforest now, and that's kind of cool, and I like granddad. But other than that, it's just like, why even have kids here at this point?
Well, I'm going to go to final thoughts here. I'm just going to say this was one of the worst of the sequels I've seen so far, coming from this factory that Blue Sky Studios. It's been the latest to join the crowd of pumping this shit out for kids. It's just weak. It got this huge cast of people that I largely don't give a shit about, you know, who don't seem to give a shit about the product themselves. It's just kind of embarrassing the way it's cobbled together from other better films. I don't know, I'm gonna have to give this 3 out of 10 script writers that I wish had died of tree venom, tree frog venom.
Yeah, it's really sad because there's plenty of stuff here that can be worked with. There's a really good cast. The animation is actually really good. But yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's flailing away in a million different directions at once. Completely lazy writing. The cast is obviously phoning it in. There ain't much here. I give this 1 million acres of cleared rainforest out of 10 million.
I like that. New system.
And I give Ashley all the high fives for skipping this movie.
And I would like to give it 10 out of 10 mimosas I drank at brunch instead of going.
I will say, boy, what a reverse reaction, what they were hoping for if the tourist industry from Brazil was really involved, because I now officially have no intention of ever going.
Man, you don't want to fuck with those guys either. Have you seen City of God?
That's true. I think I'll just stay here.